This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off, Skip.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Okay, welcome back to it. It is the Steve Gruber Show. I'm glad to have you here with me on this Wednesday. All right, everything's out of whack at the moment, so give me a minute to get it figured out. Going to have a big program today. It's Georgia No Peach for the Democrats. They had planned to take a big win in Georgia in this special election runoff. Did not happen as their man Ossoff came up way short. They're calling it the Trump effect because Donald Trump had roboed out tweets and All right, we got this figured out now. Fixed up now. Now we're back in the way we should be. Now where'd we go? It's not on. Let's try this one more time. Here we go. All right, some technical problems that happens in live radio sometimes. I apologize for that. But let's just get started right again like we're doing it from the top. Here we go. All right. It's the runoff in Georgia was a big disaster for the Democrats. $9 million poured into the effort, and it came up short. Came up way short. They thought that they were going to have their man Ossoff was going to get in there and take the seat held by the Republicans since 1979, but it did not happen. It did not happen. A special election in Georgia's 6th Congressional District failed to produce the winner that they had hoped. He needed to get 50% plus one vote to win the district. But John Ossoff, a relative newcomer, a newbie, came in. It didn't happen. With 100% of the precincts reporting, he will have a runoff now with former Georgia Secretary of State Karen Handel. Karen Handel, Ossoff garnered 48% of the vote, falling short of that threshold he needed. Handel, the top GOP vote getter, got just 20% of the vote. But everybody believes now that as we move forward, it'll mean that Handel will likely win this special runoff election that's happening in 6 weeks. So that's coming up in 6 weeks. All right, Donald Trump headed to Wisconsin yesterday to talk about jobs in the Midwest, the thing that people here still care about. It is incredible to me to hear these people talking about, you know, Donald Trump's popularity is falling. Donald Trump has this and that, and his popularity is falling in Kansas a week ago. They said that this Kansas district is up for grabs because people don't like Trump. In Georgia, Ossoff is going to get 50% because people don't like Trump. So back-to-back Democratic disappointment. $9 million pumped in. Samuel L. Jackson and others were campaigning for this guy. And just like I told you, he had no chance. No chance whatsoever of making it happen. So Donald Trump went off to Wisconsin. The president went off to Wisconsin to talk about jobs and revive the economic populism that helped drive his election campaign, signing an executive order yesterday to tighten rules on technology companies, bringing in highly skilled foreign workers. So he's carrying that mantle. He's carrying that mantle of jobs back to the Midwest, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, and of course places like North Carolina and Florida. So I have to ask you, do you believe that his popularity is truly slipping, or is this the same mainstream media? Is this the same mainstream media that was telling you prior to the election that Hillary Clinton was going to win in a walkaway? Because it seems to me it probably is. And that's disappointing. That's disappointing because you would think that the media would learn its lesson. But they don't. They continue to carry the same flag and carry the same water for the same people that have not produced for them in the past, continuing to ignore people like you and I, continuing to dismiss, if you will, people who live here in the Midwest and other places that they fly over and don't concern themselves with. At some point, they're going to have to take notice. At some point, they're going to have to take notice that we have the same amount of votes as those in the big cities, as those of their buddies, as those of the Ivy League. And I have nothing against Ivy League schools, of course. My point being is that if people in the Democratic Party wanted to reconnect with the American voter, they'd start by reconnecting with people in small towns in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. They'd travel to Ohio and North Carolina. They'd shake hands in Florida. But they don't. They continue to try to climb higher onto their mountain and pontificate that they are right. And the Neanderthals are well, you and I are wrong. If they continue with that, if they continue in that mode, their outcomes will become no better. The results will not change. Georgia's sixth. And I wonder what they're saying now. Here's the other thing. The thing about the Kansas race here a week and a half ago went to the Republican, but he only won by 8 points. It was a big change, you see. Donald Trump won that seat, that district by 24 points. And so what? That's like saying that Scott Brown winning the special election back in, what was it, 2010, when he beat Coakley in Massachusetts for the Senate seat left behind by Ted Kennedy, a shocking upset, that somehow that was going to lead to a big win for the Republicans in 2012. How did that play out again? That's right. It didn't happen, and then Scott Brown eventually lost to Elizabeth Warren later. You see, these special elections, even when they pile in $8 or $9 million, that ought to be the message here. No matter how much money the Democrats dump into something like this, they can't get over the hump with regular people. No matter how much money they dump in, and no matter how many Hollywood celebrities they bring to bear on the general public, they can't get over the hump. That should be the takeaway from Georgia's 6th congressional district for the day. Because Americans out here are worried about jobs. Americans out here are worried about the safety of their children and grandchildren when it comes to terrorism. We pay attention to international politics and foreign affairs and national security. And it doesn't matter what Samuel L. Jackson says to us about all of that, and whether or not they have slick ad campaigns and a well-spoken 30-year-old upstart. The message is still the same no matter how you repackage it, and the message continues to be rejected as it was in Georgia yesterday. That's the takeaway from Georgia's 6th congressional district. Back in a moment.
Dream.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you. And all your charms whenever I want you.
All right, welcome back to it on this, this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the conversation. Okay, so explain this to me, because maybe you can figure it out better than I can. But I'm sure you heard this. A man went on a killing spree in downtown Fresno, California. Happened yesterday. Corey Ali Muhammad, a 39-year-old man. He had already been sought for the murder of a security guard outside of a motel last Thursday. He goes on a killing spree. Kills three white people specifically. At the time of his arrest, he's still alive, unusually. Allahu Akbar, he yells. Allahu Akbar, he yells. And, okay, so they say they're not sure if it's terrorism. And in this particular case, I can say that's fair. But they say they can't be sure if it's a hate crime. That's where I get a little confused. Because the guy's social media postings are pretty clear that he is a guy who wants a black nation, wants to expel all white people, kill white people if necessary, which he did. And he does it all in the name of Allah. Well, let's do the short math. Yes, it's a hate crime. He hates white people. Wonder if he was brought to anger, if he was brought to this frenzy. I wonder if he lost control because of social justice warriors and their comments. I wonder if he was worked into this by what he was told by social justice warriors and so forth. Probably not. Probably not terrorism, you know, in the ilk of ISIS, though. Doesn't fit that category. But it does fit the hate crime category quite nicely now, doesn't it? Yeah, it seems that this is going on more and more. And coming up at the top of the next hour of hour number two here, I'm going to talk about a scourge on the earth that has also come to Michigan. We haven't talked much about it, but we're going to talk about female genital mutilation, this ritual, this butchery of little girls, and of course a Michigan doctor arrested just a few days ago, jailed for performing this barbaric treatment onto 2 7-year-olds that were brought here by their mothers from Minnesota so they could have this religious ritual performed here in Michigan. We'll talk about that, and God, it's gut-wrenching. Meanwhile, federal authorities have opened investigations right now into radical Islamic terrorists in all 50 states, according to the Department of Homeland Security, which is warning that the threat of terrorism here in America has reached an all-time high, with radicalized individuals in the country plotting to strike each and every day. Every day there's somebody out there looking to drive a truck into a mall, to open fire like this guy did in Fresno, to honor this ideology that they have. The FBI has opened terrorist investigations in all 50 states. And that comes from John Kelly, by the way. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said yesterday there have been at least 37 ISIS-linked plots to attack our country since 2013, a number that shows no signs of reducing or diminishing despite the fact that we're pounding ISIS back into the Stone Age from which they came. It was his first big appearance, by the way. The hotline is open at 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Steve, lighting it up to start the day. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Until these people grow a pair, I mean all of them, and start calling a spade, we are going to continue to be in the denial, or excuse me, they are going to be continue to be in the denial that they are in. I hope, I don't wish bad on anyone, but I hope wherever this guy decided to go on this killing spree, it was a sanctuary city, because I can't think of another set of circumstances where they deserve it, because they won't stand up for themselves, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for checking in. And I appreciate the point. However, the problem is, two of the people killed were gunned down outside of Catholic Services, a charity organization, of course. Catholic Social Services, where the two people gunned down appeared to be people in need of their services, clients, if you will, poor people. The third was a guy riding in a Pacific gas and electric truck working, randomly shot for no apparent reason. And yet the police in Fresno, California cannot come to the pretty obvious conclusion that this was a hate crime because he hates white people. He proclaimed it on his social media pages. He proclaimed it everywhere, and yet here we are gee, I have no idea what went on. I can't figure it out. Yeah, me either. I don't know. I mean, why do you think he was so upset? I don't know. Here's a guy who openly talked about the elimination of white people, the creation of a separate black nation at whatever cost it would take. Here's something that should certainly make you feel better today. Despite the fact the United States government set an all-time record of $1.37 trillion in collected individual income tax in 2014, the new numbers now, see, it takes them a couple years to break all this stuff down. We have learned that 35% of the people in America, 35% of the people in America, 52 million, paid no taxes whatsoever to the federal government. 148 million individual filers and 52 million paid nothing at all. You're welcome, by the way. You're welcome. 25 after, you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
So I can't wait to see this book shattered in my hands. The book shattered, the book just released about the failed Hillary Clinton campaign. I'm looking forward to seeing this. Maybe you are as well. Here's one of the... One of the highlights, Senator Bernie Sanders called former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton's I'm with her slogan phony, according to this book. Again, it's called Shattered, Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign, The Hill's Amy Parnes and Sidewire's Jonathan Allen. I saw them both making the rounds yesterday. They said that when they reached out to Bernie Sanders to do an ad for Clinton after she had secured the nomination. At the end of the ad, it said, I'm with her. He's supposed to say this. He said, I'm not saying that. It's completely phony. Anyhow, some good excerpts out of that book, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it going forward. My next guest, Todd Wood, writer, world traveler for the Washington Times and so forth. Todd, welcome back.
Morning, Steve.
So as I look at the landscape yesterday, I see this man killing people in California, screaming Allahu Akbar. I see all of these things happening in Europe. I see a lot of the older countries and the older people and the people that don't live in the big cities saying no. If you look at what happened in the vote in Turkey, it was the people in the countryside that are voting for the old ways, if you will. May agree with it, may not. But in England or in Europe, the same thing. Old Europe, not too impressed with the new Europe and the European Union, and a lot of pushback from places like Poland and Hungary and, well, Christian enclaves, really. You wrote about this recently. It seems that old Europe is starting to get crushed under the weight of all this secular progressivism. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, Steve. I mean, it struck me the other day when that the EU is basically threatening Poland and Hungary primarily with fines and other sanctions if they don't take hundreds of thousands of migrants. And I just find that striking, because, you know, I'm sure joining the EU, they didn't sign up on the dotted line that says, you know, okay, joining this organization, you agree to destroy your culture, accept hundreds of thousands of people who don't believe or work like you do, or you know, have the same society or culture as you. And so that's just not what they signed up for.
Then become a Muslim country, in effect. You didn't sign up to become a Muslim country to change your culture to trade in punchkis for mosques, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So where are we in this crisis? Because this continues to go on, but you know, Turkey really has, I don't know, the valve, if you will, that can increase or decrease the flow of refugees coming into Europe. They're kind of right there, the gatekeeper, are they not?
Well, that's a fascinating situation. I mean, what is NATO going to do? I mean, Turkey is, you know, the southern flank of NATO, and they are basically now a Islamist dictatorship. So, after the recent vote with Erdogan gaining more power and changing the constitution and all this kind of stuff. So what does that do for NATO? I mean, I believe that Europe has just almost committed suicide in a cultural manner. And and without realizing what they're doing, or just because they're so beholden to this progressive agenda that they can't even see that their whole future is in doubt. And that, to me, is sad, and it's just amazing to watch.
Meanwhile, May says June, that's Theresa May, says an election there in the UK in June, and she says that is to solidify the situation and the Brexit. France has an election coming up in short order where Marine Le Pen could easily win there. It would be not a shock to, I don't think, too many people. And this is all a result. This is all very similar to what happened in the United States. The pushback from ordinary people saying, no, we don't want this globalist notion that everybody can get along, because we're smart enough to realize that everybody can't just get along just because we think they should. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and you can't force people to do that. You know, there are villages in some of the European, like Sweden, where they, 200 people stuck out on an island somewhere, been there for thousands of years, and they get 2,000 migrants dumped on them. I mean, tell me their lives are not changed forever. I mean, and their culture just extinguished in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, destroyed completely.
That to me is just crazy.
Now, who pushed this to happen, and who thinks this is a good idea, and who thinks this is okay? That's my question. Who is to be held to account?
Well, the leaders of those countries, you know, Merkel primarily, and it's liberalism. I mean, it's progressivism. It's a disease. I mean, I really don't understand it. I just wish people would wake up even more and push back even more. And hopefully in this country, we got Trump elected just in time to prevent this from happening here.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sweden, you brought them up, and I think that little Sweden, I think it's the most generous nation on earth for many, many years. And I think it has been given a death sentence by the injection of something that will, as you put it, destroy their culture. I mean, there will be no Swedish culture.
Yeah, no, it's gone. I mean, same with Germany, same with France. You know, actually, you're seeing exactly what we're talking about in France. You know, Le Pen is coming on strong, and that's the issue that's pushing it.
Yeah, Sweden wasn't a very big country, and, you know, they've taken in literally millions of refugees. How can they absorb those people without there being some sort of a dramatic change in who they are? And I think you're right. Maybe Donald Trump was, you know, elected in time to stave off this flood into our own nation, because our culture matters. Our traditions matter. I mean, that's just the way
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. I mean, we care about our past. You know, we care about where we came from. And that doesn't make you racist. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you proud of your heritage. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. And I totally agree with that. All right. Todd, great article, by the way. Where can people find out more about the books that you've written, what you're doing, and what you're writing today?
As always, my website, L. Todd Wood, is the best place. You can get signed copies there. Check out all the articles. Everything's on the menu.
greatly appreciated. Todd Wood, everybody. Thank you, Todd.
Take care.
All right. Well, this part of the program brought to you by Northville Lumber. They are the number one supplier of Trex decking supplies in the Midwest. They do more of it, more railing, more decking than anyone. Log on to northvillelumber.com to find out more. We appreciate their support. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.